We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams. So whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest, when I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I want to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome. What can I say?
accept
oh, you're yeah. welcome. I mean, how good is that?
Yeah, that's
you
a good
know
one right
that,
there.
The Tech Madison game is probably going to have to get canceled.
Well, they've pushed it back now like 2 years.
Now they're going to do it again because the new format came out today.
Yeah, right.
And the ACC is requiring the ninth game, which means everybody has to cancel one.
Oh, the ACC new format is hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like as if the ACC didn't fuck this up enough this year.
Right.
They pretty much said, well, hold our beer. We can do it even worse in 2026.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be, if I understand it right, Mr. X, there's going to be some teams in the ACC that play nine games.
Yeah, nines and eights. Don't worry, we won't have ties that way.
And there are three.
Good
and,
point.
And there are three teams that are going to play eight games.
Yeah.
So three teams will play eight, the rest will play nine, and they'll figure it out with math? Like, do we know?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we've just had a tremendous accident that's occurred here. Steve Zabin has been so excited to do this podcast that he's just spilled his Coca-Cola all over his little laptop.
The man cannot stop doing play-by-play.
And this will be a commercial for what happens when you spill a Coke.
We'll see about the IP rating of Macintosh Air. It's still running.
When you spill a Coke on it, because you've seen what happens when you dump Coke into, like, certain things, it eats it, and the acid eats it alive.
Oh, I'm going to rethink this whole thing. Welcome to the Palm, and welcome to the Power Lunch, which is being redubbed the Idiot Lunch right now, because I was just sloppy. I was sloppy, and I was hasty.
You're excited.
And I'm not well prepared. How you doing, Buck? How you doing, Mr. X? Good to see you, boys. Good to have you guys here today.
Clean up aisle four.
I think it's going to be okay. Do you guys know what IP ratings are? Oh, by the way,
IP daily. Don't.
IP daily.
IP four times a night, but that's the only rating I know.
Okay, ingress protection rating.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Basically, certain phones now have ratings of waterproofness.
Right.
So your phones, once upon a time, your cell phone, if it was dropped in water, done instantly.
You could put it in rice, it wouldn't matter.
Right. Now you can drop your phone in a pool, have it go all the way to the bottom, leave it there for 30 minutes, go get a pina colada, come back, and it'll probably be fine. Probably good. Because there are still different levels of IP rating.
Now I know what that is. I'm happy that I was here today.
So I don't know what the IP rating of my MacBook.
You're going to find out here in about an hour.
Once
that Coke gets in there.
I think it's going to be okay. Once upon a time in radio, I had our news director at KTMS in Santa Barbara dump an entire 44-ounce Big Gulp. Not a 32, but a 44, the big tanker.
With no ice.
On
dumped
what?
It right into the board.
Ooh.
Into the broadcast board itself with all the exposed solenoids and wires and connectors and everything
Especially
else.
Especially back then, that was...
Yeah, that was a lot.
Different technology.
Okay, so I guess it's appropriate then that I was talking about how the ACC was going to fuck things up by me spilling a Coke
You actually spilled a Diet Coke, so let's see if that makes a difference.
I think it'll be better. Honestly, I think the straight sugar in a real Coke is even worse.
There you go.
But what do I know? Anyway, so yeah. So you guys, okay, Mr. JMU, Steve Buckhantz, Mr. X's second son, X2.
We're not videoing this today?
Yes, we are.
Where's it?
It's over there. The screen is not facing you. Why?
Oh, because I wanted to show my shirt.
Well, then puff your chest out, buddy. Let's go. Show that 70-year-old muscled chest right there, you stud.
It's had a lot of pasta and steak and bad ice cream.
So you were saying that this Virginia Tech-James Madison game, which had been scheduled, is now been put on hold?
No. With that new ACC deal... They have to play the extra conference game. They got to get rid of a game. And Tech has VMI, Old Dominion, and Madison. They're going to have to cut one. I think I know which one.
When was the last time Tech played JMU?
2011, when JMU beat them in Blacksburg. I told you, it spawned, for our viewers and our listeners, it spawned one of the great jokes of all time, which I always remind my Tech friends of, because I have plenty of them. How many batteries does it take to light up Blacksburg, Virginia? One, AA.
That's good.
zing yeah. being that and, JMU and was 1AA at the time.
Their response to that joke is they snicker and say, yeah, that'll never happen again. Which
Yeah, because he won't play him again.
Well,
Virginia Tech's like, we want no part of JMU.
They really don't. But now Old Dominion beat them this year. Yeah. So maybe they'll get rid of it.
Well, to be honest, I had this debate, of course, with my Hokie son.
Right.
And I said, I don't know that JMU isn't okay with canceling that. The tide has changed from we want to beat the big brother in the state to we want to just continue through this path to the playoffs.
Yeah.
What good does it do to – you want to play a good team
right.
that gets you points.
Right.
Or just take the win.
Right.
Tech is one of those teams where they ain't getting you any cred.
Right.
All they can do is hurt you.
It's
so
like
Madison
when,
might want to get rid of that game too.
Yeah, it's like when Georgetown and Maryland talk about playing basketball. It's a no-win situation for either team. It's a great rivalry, but doesn't do you any good because you're supposed to win, and if you don't win, you lose, and then you look bad.
Yeah.
So and same
in,
type of thing.
And in football, it only takes one.
Right.
In basketball, at least, you know, you got...
Don't spill that.
We're going to have to clean house here.
We need sippy cups.
This is a dangerous.
Today's power lunch brought to you by sippy cups.
I'm repositioning everything here
so I
don't make the
bounty.
Same mistake that
this,
you guys.
This six-person table's just not big enough for us.
Clearly.
Three.
Well, you know, I got to work on camera angles. There's equipment here. I got to rethink everything.
If you go like this is coming on me now. So maybe you need to rethink
okay.
that.
All right, we'll just settle down here. Can I shift gears abruptly to a completely different topic, and one that is going to maybe anger some people as we are right in the meat of the glory that is football season? Can we talk a little bit of association talk now, Mr. Buckhan, since you covered and called NBA games for how many years for the Wizards / Bullets?
22.
22 years, right up close in the middle of the great David Stern, 94-foot hardwood circus, turned Adam Silver hardwood circus. We got two big things to talk about. The NBA Cup and last night and the Knicks winning. First trophy for the Knicks in 54 years, something like that. And then the post-game celebration choice by Josh Hart, which makes no sense. Thumb up Jalen Brunson's tuchus right as they're hoisting the trophy. It's a viral video now that is being looped a billion times all over the place.
And Josh is a local guy.
Then there is the LeBron pushing the ref story. And I assume you saw that from this week.
I actually didn't see that. I was out of the country, but
Buck!
Who did he push is
oh
my question.
My God. Tell me, Mr. X, you saw this situation.
I did. Well,
okay.
You have the video?
I have the video. I will show it to you.
I know. I'm going to have a different take.
Of course you are. You're going to have the wrong take on this.
Oh.
The league has got to stop sucking LeBron's teat. He is about to expire. They're going to have to find a new guy to center the league around. What he did in the closing minute of their game against the Suns was outrageous. Dillon Brooks hits a three to put the Suns up. LeBron, while trying to close out, kind of throws an elbow at him as he's trying to close out. Foul. Easy foul to call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Brooks falls down. No whistle.
So they didn't call the foul.
Brooks gets up apoplectic. You're like, that's not a foul? And then kind of chest bumps LeBron. Mm-hmm. LeBron, using his natural instincts, semi-flops. Because that's what he does. He does a half flop. He doesn't go to the ground, but he kind of, like that.
Right, right.
Then everyone starts to get together, and there's pushing, and there's shoving, and LeBron grabs one of the referees under the armpit and physically moves him several feet. Clearly in violation of the actual written rules of any intentional contact with a referee is an immediate ejection and a one-game suspension with fine. LeBron got nothing. You know who did get teed up? Dillon Brooks.
Really?
And then LeBron is set up for the game-winning three, misses it, but the defender was close enough that LeBron kind of put his leg out, which is what all these guys do now, gets the foul call, hits two out of three, wins the game.
Mm.
And to this minute, right now, on a Wednesday, December 17th, the league hasn't done shit to LeBron James. It's outrageous. Now, you haven't seen it, so you really can't comment. Let's get Mr. X, who has seen it, on record with the exact wrong opinion. Go ahead, Mr. X.
If I want to get this, I could stay home and be told I was wrong.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll swerve into the right opinion. No. My opinion is right. It's a complete joke. Well, it is. Everyone agrees with me on the internet.
But don't you love having words put into your mouth? It's just...
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
I would say this. I did not see it until after I got your note. X4 and I, we watched it last night.
And your boys are big NBA
fans. Oh, X4 is NBA. Like, yeah, he knows more about the NBA than anybody I know knows about any subject.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He knows the G League inside out and backwards.
That's big.
But, look, first of all, the way sports are now, when a ref misses something in a game, the league comes in and takes action later. It's no longer about, did the ref see it? Because the league can come in and say, hey, you did this thing, and we're going to punish you, even though the refs missed the call. That's okay. I think calling it a shove is quite an exaggeration.
You mean LeBron on the referee?
It's not.
That's
on
an
now.
Auto race you're showing.
It
me,
just
Dave.
Switched to something else. you had it, but anyway,
it was looped. You're saying that is not a shove.
It was.
It happened. It's a different. It's a different context.
Exactly. The bottom line is:
Are you saying that's not a shove? Oh my
okay,
god.
Okay.
Oh my god.
But the answer is you can't touch.
Here.
Period.
Right. Right, you can't touch a referee.
Was that a touch?
What did I just do to you? I shoved you.
Okay.
Just like LeBron.
Right. And he was trying to get him out of the way.
I don't care what he was trying to do.
Listen to what I'm saying. You can't touch, period. So
right.
To not take, I don't mind the refs letting it go on the spot. The league should do something because once you say that's okay, then you can't find the next guy for putting his hands on an official.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
The reason I said, having looked at this, that it's in a different context, Zabe, is that...
here it is right here. Okay. You can see the Brooks three, then LeBron come running through, knocking him down.
Right.
Then he gets up, and there's LeBron with this semi-flop right there.
That just switched to something else.
Okay, so that's the essence of it.
Yeah.
Your takeaway, X, is... Yeah, no big deal.
No, not at all.
Okay, what is your takeaway?
When I hear, oh, he shoved a ref, I'm like, what? It was a soft, push him out of the way in an altercation. I've seen that happen many times, and it still needs to be punished. That's what I'm saying.
So I'll chime in on this, having just seen that. When I said it happens in a different context, it's one thing if the referee makes a call and you go up and you shove him, or as you're walking to the bench, you make contact with him. That's a technical foul. In this situation, as I see it, and I've seen it happen many, many times, where there's an altercation and the referee is in the middle of it, he's going to take some contact.
Collateral
now, even you could see that this was not LeBron shoving the referee because he made a bad call.
Exactly.
He just
doesn't matter.
Well,
am I losing my mind right now? Listen to you guys.
Let's let the guy who did 22 years on the side answer it.
I think I have some credibility in that. Watching this,
He grabs him under the armpit.
Yeah, I saw
and
it.
Physically moves him away.
I saw it. It's a couple of things, and I know you're not going to like this. First of all, it's LeBron.
I don't give a shit.
If it's...
that makes it worse. You know, the league is catering to LeBron.
No, I don't disagree with you on that.
That's
another one. I can tell you that they're catering to him and that he gets the benefit of every call I've ever seen in 22 years, including traveling, the crab dribble, and all of that crap. Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. But this is just a different... Now, he could still get fined for making contact with an official. There's no question about it. But
as Judge Smale said,
we're waiting.
Thank you. Well done, Buck. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
I've seen this stuff happen. It is crazy. And again, it's LeBron. If that's Trey Johnson from the Wizards, he's gone.
Okay. You know. All right. So there's where you stand on that. Did you see last night after the Knicks won the cup?
Yes.
Jalen Brunson decided now's a good time to playfully stick my thumb up
or not Brunson.
Josh Hart.
Josh Hart stuck his thumb up Brunson's butt as like, guys would have loved that. Hey, goose you right there. And Brunson turned around like, what the hell was that? Right as the, I mean, like at the very postcard moment
right.
of the celebration. How do we score this one?
Well, I go back a step. I'm not a fan of that cup. I'm not a fan of an in-season tournament just to do it. I mean, the rules change in every sport and none more than the NBA. The NBA has adapted to the way the players play. If you watch these guys now, they palm the basketball like it's not okay. Like it's unbelievable.
Puck, I'm just asking about the thumb up the butt. Well, I want to know from a guy's standpoint, how do you score this? Is this a prank well played? Or is it out of bounds? Like, dude, that's not cool because now I look dumb in what should be a moment of celebration. We won this silly in-season tournament, which, by the way, they pay extra money to the players because Lord knows NBA players
well, that's
are so
why
underpaid.
They, that's why they celebrated the way they did. I mean,
sure.
Otherwise, who cares?
Right. Okay, so is it a good prank or is it out of bounds? Well, I think it's out of bounds.
Let me just say this.
I think it's out of bounds because it is in that uncomfortable sort of, you know, a zone of heterosexuality fringes of it. Yeah. And then secondly, it makes Brunson look bad. He wasn't part of it.
I don't advocate putting my thumb up any man's butt. Just that's me.
Unless it's your proctologist, well, who's
that's
a woman.
The other way around. But whatever. I mean, it was silly.
Okay.
It was silly.
Mr. X.
Oh, I struggle to see any relevance. I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's so many sports things to, you know, those two, let's let them work it out.
All right. You have no opinion. That's fine. I'll be the one with the opinions on this show today. And that was, it was an out of bounds prank.
But I do have
now, can we talk about the celebrating of the championship?
Well, that's the other thing.
Can we talk about the NBA Cup in general as a thing?
I just said, it doesn't do anything for me. Now, I know, look, 82 games is a long season. It's a long season in hockey. It's a long season in basketball. But people that dismiss the NBA or don't care for it are always like, why do we have to play 82 games? Let's just play 30 games and then have the playoffs. Well, the reason is because we have nothing to do all winter long, and we want to see competition, and there's money involved. And that's why we play 82 games. That's why we play 82 hockey games, and that's why we play 160 baseball games. Because we want to see, we want to be entertained. It has nothing to do with, oh, the season's too long. We know the season's long. What the hell?
Right.
But I'm not an advocate of having a tournament in the NBA inside of the season. I didn't
All right,
enjoy
your
that.
Your filibustering made Dennis, our waiter, U-turn and leave. So now we're going to be another 10 minutes delayed.
Well,
he's back again.
He's back.
Right, very good. Right. We're at the Palm. Dennis is taking great care of us. I already know what I want. I also spilled my Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Dennis, I'm
See,
very
that
sorry
took about 5 minutes off the show, too.
Well, I'm just saying, be court aware. Be situationally aware. Dennis
situational
is here. Wrap
awareness.
Up your filibustering point. Dennis had like the petite filet with a lobster bisque, cup of lobster bisque, small one, and then a splash of fries, no vegetables on that, medium rare. Thank you very much. That's my go-to order here at the Palm.
Wow.
So while you guys are deliberating, you ready?
Catch of the day.
You should know by now, Buck. You've been here quite a lot.
Thank you. Dennis, get a... A Caesar grilled chicken Caesar salad, is that possible? Some extra dressing?
There you go.
Thank you.
Very nice.
The lobster bisque, and I'll do the center cut filet as well.
Medium rare?
Yes, please.
And I'll do some of that soup, too.
Okay.
No parsley.
No parsley. Thank you very much.
I have a couple of legitimate questions. Well, you want to finish up on this?
Well, I want to wrap up on the NBA Cup.
Yeah,
so I'm just looking here. I guess today on ESPN... Longtime Knicks fans, Stephen A. Smith and Timothée Chalamet, the actor, were all celebrating the NBA Cup championship, and Mad Dog Russo is ripping them, you know, a new asshole, going, you know, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, Red Holtzman are saying, really, we're going to celebrate this stupid thing
in
this
the middle
much?
Of the season?
This inauthentic creation to jazz up the regular season?
Right.
Check yourselves.
Yeah, well, I agree.
My only comment is, it is really important, given the dollars, to the seven or eight guys that aren't on the court on those teams.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The end of the bench, you will see the guys say, well, we wanted to win for them. The guys at the end of the bench that have, you know, minimum rookie contracts, that extra 500 grand, that matters. But they're not on the floor.
What is the cheapest rookie contract in the NBA?
Now it's got to be $1 million, $1.5 million.
I was going to guess that, but I don't know. But yeah. So another 500 is a nice
one.
For a guy who's going to be in the league 2 years?
1.16 million.
Yeah, I was right there.
Yeah, so if you get a 50% bonus for your watching your teammates win.
Actually, the projected rookie minimum for this year is 1.27.
Yeah, and it's gone way up. It used to be about $500,000. I think all of this started during the COVID when they had the bubble down in Orlando. I think this emanated from that, this tournament, this mid-season tournament. It's not a big – I don't – get jazzed up over it. If I were still doing games, I'd be forced to get excited about it, but I don't think I would be.
Winners get 530 grand.
Great.
Yeah.
Split awesome. Equally.
Matters that's, to the last half of the team.
Absolutely.
Not the first fabulous. Half.
Do you know how quickly that money's going to be gone for much of these NBA players?
Yeah, but it's going to be fun while it lasts.
One dinner at the Palm? I don't know.
You know, that money is going to be like, what's the term for rain that is on the radar but never hits the ground?
Yeah.
You it's, know this.
It dissipates.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but it's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, look, the actual tournament is apparently doing well with the league itself, with the sponsors. The real hardcore NBA fans are enjoying it. Mm-hmm. They like the fact that flopping SGA got beat by Wemby and the Spurs, and that Wemby afterwards talked about it's great to have ethical basketball. That's the term he used.
I
ethical.
Love that.
Basketball.
Wasn't that great?
Yes, it was great. SGA kicking his leg out to kick the shin of the defender and get the call on a jump shot is a cancer on the league, Mr.
Well, they call that now.
They didn't in this case.
I understand that, but they did make a point of emphasis. This has been a couple of years ago. To make the call if somebody sticks the leg out. We've seen it. We've seen it called. They also made a point of emphasis to call a foul on a player who has encroached or come near the jump shooter. This is why you see fouls on three-point shots all the time, because the defender comes close enough or at least enough to where he either
his landing zone.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't want that injury.
That was because of, was it Klay Thompson Kawhi. Kawhi had his ankle blown up by one of the Warriors players putting his feet under him when he went up for a corner jumper. It totally affected the entirety of the playoffs that year, and they overreacted. Like, you say they call those kickouts. I'll send you, Buckhance, a full mixtape of SGA's best flops. And carve out some time, because it'll be a long mixtape.
There are a lot of things that have changed, things that are, for instance, Giannis at the free throw line with the 10-second count. A couple of weeks ago, they called him on that. Now, this is 2 years ago when they started, the fans in the stands were counting.
Right.
You know, and then here's how they adapted to that. The referees would hold the ball under the basket, let him go through his motions first,
and then
pass him the ball, and then that cut it down. ABC one time, and I believe Mike Breen was doing the game, they put a clock on it for the 10-second count. You can't put a clock on it because the referees count with their hands like this, okay? And that's not an accurate 10-second count.
Right.
If you watch an inbounds pass.
You're saying that's not quartz timing? This is not
clearly
Swiss timing here.
If you stand in front of your microwave and count 5 seconds, this is 5 seconds. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the NBA, it's this. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're giving every opportunity the offense to get the ball in play. And somebody called it on Giannis. I'm just saying that rules change.
I know, but here's the thing. It doesn't.
Watch that soup.
The soup is fine. We're not going to tip it over.
Okay. Here's another thing that they.
But here's the thing, Buck. It doesn't fucking matter. These are just games for fun. We don't need Swiss timing on the 10-second count.
That's what he's
this
saying.
This is just so what? You know, let the referees use that count. It just doesn't matter. Well, we should never be obsessing anyway about Giannis's 10 seconds versus 11 seconds because he's not taking 20 seconds.
But that's why they didn't call the foul on LeBron haven't called anything on him for what he did with the referee.
Yeah, but that affects the outcome of the game. This was in the final 5 seconds of the game. And you can't have guys touching referees.
I agree
it's
with that.
It's the catering to LeBron that is outrageous.
Well, we've seen that for a decade.
I know. I'm crushed that you guys don't have the same outrage as me, but that's okay. I understand there's
conflicting
reasons for
you. And listen, if anybody would have
the
outrage, it would be me.
And I believe that it's just because Mr. X only gives a shit about gambling, so he doesn't have the moral capacity to be outraged like I am.
I said he should be fine.
You're not outraged is the point. So one more thing.
Yes.
Adam Silver was asked about the Terry Rozier situation. Currently under investigation for, point shaving. The Heat would love to trade him, but they can't figure out how does this work exactly. Well, you know, and so Silver was asked about this, and he said, yeah, that's a tough situation. I don't know how we can figure that out. And Bill Simmons is like, commissioner.
It's your job.
It's your job to make a decision on this. Say he can be traded, but the pick doesn't count, or there's a clawback if he is arrested and goes to jail. I mean, figure it out.
I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
All right, let's figure out soup.
I will say this about Adam Silver. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I know commissioners are hired and paid by the owners, but I've never seen a commissioner in any sports that seems like he works for the players. He has been a pro player in every decision, every stance. At times I go, wait, is he the head of the Players Association? No, wait, he's the commissioner. He seems like he represents the players. He's such a shill for the players. Why do the owners want that? Because clearly it's what they want, or he wouldn't have the job. So it's almost like they're making him be a constant suck up.
First
for the
of all,
players,
they're governors. They're not owners. Because someone made the wild interpretation that sounded too much like slavery. So they called them governors. That tells you how coddled NBA players are. It is a dream league for any NBA player that can dribble a ball and be on the end of the bench and make $1.27 million guaranteed, especially when you look at the NFL, where they are hostile to the players in the NFL.
They are. That's what I mean.
The league on Thursday, Friday, Saturday steals money from the players, deciding on video, ooh, you lowered your head. That's a $46,532 fine. And nobody ever makes a big deal of it because it's buried on a Friday night. Well, I see these things come across, and I'm like, how does the union allow this? Some of these guys are on sixth-round contracts as rookies. They're only making $90,000 a game, and they're stealing half of their paycheck. Fucking useless union. Let's eat some good old lobster biscuit and then regroup on the other side, and then we'll talk about whatever you want, Mr. X, and whatever you want, Buck Hance. And I've got an airplane story to tell about from Dulles, just recently.
IAD.
You being a certified pilot, I believe, have some thoughts on this.
Absolutely.
All right. We're here at the Palm having a power lunch. Just friends arguing, carrying on, spilling Diet Cokes into computers. Come on down to the Palm and Tyson's Corner. Get your power lunch booked today. It's perfect for the holidays, and we're back after this. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious, but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night.
CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
All right, we are back, everybody. No time for this filler that Buck is going to take an hour to say. We are back. The lunch was delicious. Steak was amazing. Come on down. Get your power lunch at the Palm. I guess I was just hangry, boys, but I'm going to get a lot of shit from people saying I was both mean to you guys in the first segment and didn't let you talk. So I'm going to make up for that by A.
I call that making me feel at home.
I'm gonna make up for it by A, letting you guys riff on whatever you want, and being an attentive listener of what it is that's on your mind. Buck Hance, why don't you start?
Are you worried that people thought you were insensitive?
No, I know they think I'm insensitive, and I am at times
they
insensitive.
They count on it.
Yes, and I know that I am insensitive, but I believe there is a beating heart of gold somewhere deep down in there.
Well, I wouldn't call it insensitivity or however you want to say that, but
a brusqueness to myself.
As a host of this type of show, whether it's this or what Bill O'Reilly used to do or whatever, you have to be aggressive.
You have to agitate.
Not necessarily agitate. You have to be forceful and dominate the situation.
Well, I think agitating is not a bad word. You know what I grew up watching and probably absorbing by osmosis is the McLaughlin Group.
Sure.
How awesome was that?
It was amazing sitting there watching it with my dad, barely understanding the political issues that were being batted around, but I was fascinated with how John McLaughlin, who had been a preacher, I believe, once upon a time, I'll look him up right now, was such a skillful sort of director of this roundtable debate. And so he wouldn't let certain people get away with stuff, and he would then redirect the conversation, you know? And it got to the point where it became such a force in the pop culture scene that SNL made spoofs.
Absolutely. Steve Zabin, go.
Right. Wrong. Pat Buchanan, talk to me. Eleanor Clift. Oh, Eleanor, you're so off on this one.
I don't even think there's nobody better, but I don't even think anyone would want to do that anymore because there's no shows that want more than one side presented.
Yeah, the current debate shows are basically rigged. They're 3-on-1, in one direction, or 4-on-nothing. So the state of the art has definitely...
But as a host of this show, and many others like this, you have a very strong opinion, which you believe is right.
Yes, of course. You have to believe in your opinion.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in it, don't have it. No, don't trot it out there.
So exit question.
And that's fine. And not everybody necessarily has strong opinions.
Right.
There are many things I have no strong opinion on. So if you were the one running the show and then you pressed me on it, I might be like, eh, don't care.
And I've said that before to you, too. And you're like, didn't you watch this last night?
Yeah. I know. I should have maybe prefaced it by saying, please watch this.
Well, you did do that last night. You said a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. But I didn't say explicitly this will be on the quiz.
Yeah.
I just thought even though you were on vacation, you would have seen it. Don't you scroll at the beach while getting bronzed?
No. There's not a lot. The channels that you get sometimes don't show you everything you need to know. There's enough. But
when you're at the beach.
I don't watch ESPN when I'm at the beach.
Slow down. When you're at the beach, do you scroll your phone?
Yeah, but I don't scroll it to look at stuff. I scroll it to look at messages.
So you don't consume Twitter,
not a lot.
Facebook, Instagram?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot. So I had some questions, legitimate.
Because that's all I do on vacation. Yeah. It's quite relaxing. So what do you do for hours on the beach if you're not looking at social media? Look at the ocean? Count seagulls?
Yeah. I have a little iPad. That has all my music on it, and I listen to a lot of that.
Okay, so you listen to tunes, chill, you have a cocktail or
absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely, yep.
That's nice. That's now good. Listen.
I had some questions, and you guys might have legitimate answers. And these are kind of innocuous questions about things, but I need to know the answer. For instance, when and why did the two-minute warning in college football become the two-minute timeout? Can somebody please explain that to me? Is it a woke thing? What is it?
Changed when they put it in a couple years ago.
Right.
They didn't want. Sometimes the NC. Now, look, I'm just making shit up here. I don't know that answer. Okay. But my guess is, if you've noticed, there's certain things. To me, the NFL and the NCAA have always had a way of, like, not looking like they're copying each other.
Okay.
So when they decided to put it in, they had to call it something different. And why are we warning you? Warning you what? You're watching the clock. It's a two-minute timeout.
Right.
But in the
NFL, it's still the two-minute warning.
Because they're not going to say, wow, NCAA had an idea that's smarter than ours.
Do you know where the two-minute warning in the NFL came from?
No.
It was television.
Okay.
Television wanted a guaranteed ad break near the end of the first half.
Now they have a bunch of them, but yeah, you're right.
But at the time, they're like, how do we guarantee this?
Okay.
No one was like, oh, 2 minutes, that snuck up on me. I guess I should have been looking as a coach at the scoreboard. Wow. Right.
We've been warned.
If only there was a warning.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember at the end, I wish they'd bring this back. I remember at the end of a quarter, they'd fire a gun. Are you old enough to remember that, Zabe?
Yes, a blank. Yes.
A blank, yes.
Which, a track gun, starter's gun.
Yeah. I loved that.
All right,
that was,
in college, this according to AI, the two-minute timeout started in the 2024 season.
Yeah, it just happened. Last year.
And the terminology is the NCAA emphasizes calling it a two-minute timeout rather than a warning, though broadcasters often use both terms.
Right. Most college announcers have adapted to that the way they adapted to calling the Bullets the Wizards and not the Bullets. Or the Redskins. That's a better example.
That's a hard one.
You know, and that, it was tough for a couple of years. Guys would slip up. All right, second question is, hold on, let me think about it for a second. Why? All right, I've lost my train of thought here with this two-minute timeout.
I'm not going to rescue you either, by the way.
No.
I'm going to lean into the awkwardness of the moment.
Okay. Here's,
if I could play the Jeopardy music now, I would.
I would suggest that every PA announcer in the country, pro and college, stop going, it's third down. That's some of the most annoying shit I've ever heard. Please stop doing that. Everybody does it, pro and college. Watching a Steeler game the other night, he does it there too.
Too much sizzle.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
How about when announcers say, for three?
Well, yeah.
At least they're calling something.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, well, listen, I had this discussion once with Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan when Phil Chenier and I had him on our podcast. This is interesting, too. There's only one way in hockey to call a goal. There's only one. He shoots, he scores. He fires, he scores. If you put the tape together of every announcer on just one night, all you'd hear is, he scores. You can't say, we had one guy, Mike Forns, who did Capitals games for a while.
I remember Mike Forns.
And he used to say, it's in the net. No, that's Dave Johnson. He would say, shot and a goal.
Right.
But every other announcer, and we had this discussion, it's like you can call a basket or even a game-winning basket 10 different ways. You know, swish, dagger, it's in, he got
a
it,
score,
it's good.
A goal, right, a right, bucket, a right. basket.
In hockey, there's only one way to call a goal, and that is he shoots, he scores. He fires, he scores. He scores. There's no other way to call a goal in hockey. It's what you say afterwards that makes the puts the exclamation mark on it, and that's why Joe's so good at that. But there's only one way to call a goal. Have you thought about that?
That is kind of weird. I thought you said in hockey, and I might have misheard it, but that you mean in hockey.
Yeah, you thought I said cocky?
That's what I heard. And I hear things
so
all
did
the time.
I, by the way.
You heard cocky?
Yes, in cocky. You said dot, 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 and I was like, okay, let me amend something. According to AI, the two-minute timeout is not a warning because the original two-minute warning was in 1942 when officials had to literally warn teams about the time remaining in the half, where stadium clocks were unofficial and only the referee kept the official time. However, when they changed to doing the official time on the stadium scoreboard clock,
right,
then the networks were like, well, you can't get rid of the warning. We want to use it as a timeout to shove some ads in there.
I don't think there's any reason to change it. Two-minute warning is fine.
Steve Shaw, the director of officiating in college, says the NCAA calls it the timeout because they're not warning anybody of anything. The timeout helps differentiate their rule from the NFL's longstanding, though similar, functioning tradition. That's where you say they don't like to do anything
that the pros do.
Just like in college, they're resisting the NBA shot clock because they don't want to go to 24 seconds. Many college coaches I know say they should have the same clock as the NBA.
Yeah.
College just is insistent on, nope, we don't want to do what they're doing.
Yeah, that's fine. Here's the other one that I thought of, and I don't know when this came to be. And I've done, 3 years ago, did James Madison games, football games. When did the first down marker become the line to gain?
The line to gain.
What? Somebody's got to answer that. Back in the day, nobody ever said, oh, they're testing the fire alarm here in the building.
It's phraseology is what it is. I don't know if it matters. It's what they call a distinction without a difference.
I understand that, but we never called it the line to gain. Nobody ever called it the line to gain.
Okay.
Ever.
While we're on announcer pet peeves, how do you feel about guys saying he runs well north-south?
I don't have a problem with that.
Or downhill.
Isn't it flat?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
You don't?
There's so many cliches, and I always try to avoid cliches. There's so many of them. Like, when a guy gets up after an injury, he walks off the field under
his own power.
Right. How about he just walks off on his own?
How else do you walk?
How about he just walks off on his own? He's got to walk off under his own power.
Walks off.
He walks off. He's walking off on his own, under his own power. I mean, these are cliches that we as announcers get sucked into, and there's hundreds of them. They're everywhere, and it's just, you know, like one of the ones that you hear now all the time is, "Here we go."
Well, that's Romo for you right
there.
That's
Romo and Nance. Here we go.
My worst on the announcer things is if it drives you crazy, it drives you crazy. It doesn't have to make sense. Mine is, he put his foot in the ground.
Yes, where else would you put it?
He made a cut. Oh, he put his foot in the ground and then cut. Where do your feet, what?
Yeah.
So
no, there's just so many of them. That they crack me up. Of course, and we've had this discussion before. If you listen to Chris Collinsworth, and I've said this a million times, this is the most overused phrase by an announcer without question. And it's usually the color announcer, the color analyst. I tell you, or some derivation of that. I'm telling you, I want to tell you, I'll tell you. Collinsworth will say it 50 times a game. It's just something we get used to saying before we say something. And so, Zabe, I'll tell you that if he goes down the field on his own, I tell you he's really – I tell you, if you listen, it's just something that you get used to saying and you can't avoid it. And if you listen to Collinsworth, he'll say it 50 times a game.
And you've just – I like Collinsworth. You've just ruined him for me because once you hear those
– I can't unhear it.
Well, now that's all I'll hear.
When you hear Al Michaels do whine calls, and it's incomplete. You can never unhear it. When you hear Aikman say, good job. That's a good job.
Good
by
work.
Him.
Good work.
No, he says job 50 times
a
game.
Fine job.
Yeah, fine job. Great good job. Good job. Yeah. What a job there by him. Yeah. You can't unhear it. Email is on the same line. This one from Mike Halbauer from Akron, Ohio. He says, Zabe, the amount of time wasted pausing what should be a continuously flowing entertainment product by replay is slowly getting me to the point of giving up. I can't tell you how many times I watch a catch or a fumble or a DPI and listen to Romo and Nance or Aikman and Buck or Collinsworth and Tirico spend as much time debating the fucking rules than calling the game. And they seem to relish it. It's minutes at a time. 25 times a game when the play only takes seconds. If one more of these nitwits says it's critical to get it right because it's about their livelihoods, I'm going to lose it. I don't give a shit about their jobs. This is entertainment for me. And then I said in response, I go, you know what would be great? I said, I wish the announcers, after seeing exactly what the call should be after the, say, second replay, if they just went silent and just sat there. In other words, go, yep, that was a catch. And then let the replays, because they always show four or five angles, two or three times each. What if they just went quiet like this? For 2 minutes, people would lose their minds, but it would really hammer home how much of a waste of time the obsession to, well, there could be another angle. Let's see. Getting it right is not only overrated, but if you're going to try to get it right, you have to also get it right quickly. Quick is the essence.
It started and it only got worse, and we knew it would. Baseball was the last sport to do it because we would see a replay at home plate on a critical play, a bang-bang play at home plate, and the whole world saw the replay and saw the right call. Everybody saw it except the most important person, who was the home plate umpire.
Well, they try to see it. It's very hard in real time.
Right, right. And that's why baseball eventually caved and said, okay, we got to now have replay two.
But remember how they started in baseball. You know, it was the only thing they could review at start. Mr. X, you remember this.
No, I don't.
Home runs. That's it.
Yeah, of all, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Home runs.
But you knew it would evolve.
Fair or foul was the only thing they allowed it.
So
first.
It's evolved.
They were too far away to make that crack.
But listen, it's you either have it, you either have replay and do it to the extent that we do it to get it right, or you don't have it at all. Either way, you're going to have people bitching and moaning about one or the other. I would like to not have it. It's fine with me.
Fine with me too.
I'm fine to go back to the human, judgment by humans. I have no problem with that. But don't bitch when your team gets screwed out of a game because the referee made the wrong call. If you don't want replay, then accept the fact that there're going to be errors made.
I don't even mind if you bitch. Get it out of your system.
That's fine too. But don't.
I don't care. I just want the games to go quicker.
Okay.
I want the refs to call it as best they can with their bare eyes. I want the rule book pared down by 20%. Stop trying to define everything.
Yeah.
Let's keep her pushing. Sorry for that burp right there. This is from ProFootballTalk.com. The NFL privately admitted to the Panthers that replay review erroneously reversed an on-field ruling of a fourth quarter catch by wide receiver Tet McMillan. And I replied, replay, getting it sometimes right, most of the time, eventually, maybe. Mr. X, what's on your mind this week? We've hammered this enough.
No,
we're moving on.
No, I was going to say, you're trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. Yeah. It ain't happening.
How about the punter that kicked the ball twice? Yes. Did you saw that? And
that was an old ruling from last year.
Right. And so I believe it was Buck and Aikman who were doing the game, and
Aikman said that's coming back.
Right.
And he was wrong. And then the
referee, the on-screen referee,
Terry McCauley.
Yeah, he said that's not allowed, and the guy on the field says,
actually, there is no foul.
Right.
Yeah. And then the TV ref, and it was not McCauley, it was somebody else,
right.
Said, well, we're going to have to look at this.
Yeah.
So even they didn't know the rules,
yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Well, he thought he knew the rule.
How many times does a punter kick the ball twice? If exactly. there's a rule I don't know, it's that one.
No shit. That's a good point.
Right.
And that's the other thing about a lot of these college kickers who are Australian punters.
Aussie,
you know,
right.
They're taking two and three steps, you know, to kick the ball because that's what they're used to doing in that, you know, when they're playing rugby or whatever they're doing.
Right.
You get into the NFL, you can't take two or three steps to kick the ball. They're going to block the shit out of it. You better get rid of it quick. And so that's why you're not seeing as many Australian punters in the NFL.
All right.
There's also a rule that comes into play there, if I have it right.
Linemen going downfield.
Well, no, not that. But once the punter leaves the, I don't know what you call it, pocket, whatever,
right.
There's no roughing. So if he tries to rugby kick it,
right,
you can lay him out.
Yeah,
and you know
that's awesome.
They just don't. You never.
That's not worth the risk
because you're considered a runner at that point.
Yeah,
yeah. You rarely.
You're
see
right
it.
About the downfield. That's the difference. That's why they do it in college and they don't do it in pro. But
yeah.
I also think safety and like we only got one punter, or in the case of Ron Rivera, we only have one backup holder.
Yeah. Yeah, that can happen too. Mr. X, you said you brought a bunch of notes. You also scribbled some stuff down here on a napkin.
Oh, I left. Do you want to get car?
He left him in the car.
You
had notes, but left him in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Do you remember any? Because I want to let you isolate. Okay. Call whatever play you want to call. Go.
Okay. But I'm going to follow up on
it. It will never end if you follow up on it.
I'm going to do it. Things you say at my house over Thanksgiving with all the boys home, et cetera. One of my sons had taught his girlfriend, when you're watching football, if you want the group in the room to think you're smart, all you say is, big third down here. And he's not wrong. So for the next 3 days with games on, all we hear is, big third down here, big third down here.
I love
how about need a stop here?
Well, he only did big
That's
third
a
down.
Corollary.
And more in basketball than anything else. Got to have a stop here. Stop.
And the other one is pick six would really change the game here. Yeah. So that's all we heard for 4 days.
How about scoop and score? That came into being in the last couple of years. Nobody ever said scoop and score before that.
How about when there's a really bad penalty and they say, oh, they really can't afford that penalty right now. And I'm like, when can they afford
exactly.
a 15-yard penalty? Yeah. When is that a splurgeable thing? Yeah. All right, Mr. X, what do you got?
Okay, I got just this. Over the holidays, when X1 was up, who we rarely talk about because he doesn't live here, and he's athletic but the only one that's not geeky into sports.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you know, it just changed my perspective of gambling in 2000, what are we, 25. He's got on his phone, he calls me up and he's trying to get into his IRA account. I'm like,
a little young to be worrying about that.
Well, no, and I'm thinking why, because I got them all connected and everything. And he says, well, his roommate is trying to open a Roth and he's just going to copy everything I did, is what he says. So I help him get in and I'm like, wait a minute, your roommate who just graduated college, how's he have any money? And he says, well, Dad, he's been, you know, on, I don't know, FanDuel or whatever. And I said, oh, boy. And he's hit it well. And what do I do with my money? So my son's trying to connect him.
That
how to invest
actually it. Sounds like good right. to get young people investing. There's
well,
no
yeah,
more
but how they're
thing
getting
than
it from. So I
well,
said,
yeah.
so watch what he says to me. He says, I said, son, you know, and he says, but he's been doing research. Like, oh, well, oh, nobody else in those casino lines have done any research.
And
a shame
and
the other side doesn't know how to do any research.
Right, and the bookies and the odds makers don't do research.
They just guess.
So when he's home over Thanksgiving, for the first time, I see him on the phone. Because when the boys are all together, they all want to put in a five-team parlay. Everybody pick one, throw it in. I always bring them down. But anyway.
I believe that's called, like, pass the leg.
Yeah, some call it
that. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Where it's a group of guys, so you're mutually committed to a long shot bet.
Yeah.
I pick a leg, you pick a leg. And so if four of us hit our picks and you buckhands miss it, we get to give you shit because you screwed up the parlay.
Yeah, and that's what I do.
And that's why I don't bet.
Yeah, but for small amounts, it's actually a fun little thing.
Sure. So he's sitting here doing this and he's getting his picks from his roommate who's now doing research because he was a ball player in college and now he knows basketball. Well, he's sitting there on Thanksgiving night, Thursday or Friday night, and he's got the 10-team, you know, $5 parlay to win $1,000, which, as you know, is just fingernails on a chalkboard for me. I can't stand it. And I'm telling him how stupid he is. And the next morning, I get up, and sure enough,
he hits it.
I'm like, and it occurred to me, gambling today, if you're 20-something, is what we used to call buying lottery tickets. When lottery came out when I was first job in my 20s, and you're like, wait, I can walk by this newsstand and I can buy a lottery ticket?
Mm-hmm.
And you throw some money at it and see if you hit. You know you're not going to win, but what the hell? It's a lottery. That's what they're doing with sports.
Their odds are better gambling than the lottery.
But even more pernicious is it's on their phones. So they don't have to physically walk by a bodega or a newsstand or anywhere else to get that lottery ticket.
And how can I tell him he's wrong when he... You know, it's like, I know he's wrong. He'll have to figure it out himself. But it's like, oh, yeah, my buddy's doing research, and we're winning.
Good luck. I hope he does not. Kidding. You know, they have hotlines for problem gamblers. Call 1-800-HOTLINE-PROBLEM-GAMBLER.
But you know what? When you're doing lottery tickets and you're throwing your $5 or $10 or $20, you're not going to get into a problem. Yeah. And that's what they're counting on, is just getting that little bit of money from all these kids.
All right. Well, I'm surprised your boys are not into prediction markets, because prediction markets, smile for the camera, thank you, Buck. Prediction markets are where it's going to be at when it's all said and done. Buck, if you were not in 4x3, you'd probably get a wider angle on that. Plus, if you use the half lens, that's fine. But we'll get a picture. We'll get the waiter in.
Hey, at least I'm smart enough to know you don't shoot like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Not vertical. Very good.
Never.
Are you up to speed on prediction markets, Mr. X? Kalshi and Poly Market?
No.
Why not? As a numbers guy, as a money guy, you should be. This is the new wave of gambling. The pro leagues are terrified of prediction markets. They're opposing them at every step, and they're doing it probably until the moment they can profit from Poly Market or Kalshi. 60 Minutes had a great piece on prediction markets. They're actually saying that some businesses are using prediction markets instead of insurance, because they're able to place a contract for, will it rain more than 6 inches in downtown Houston for this upcoming hurricane that's about to hit? And so they then place that bet as a way to insure against loss of business and loss of property.
Okay.
It's another way to skin the cat. Now, the controversy is, the notion of prediction markets is that you are betting against another unnamed, faceless person you don't know that has bought in on the other side, like Rams -7.
It's a market.
Sure. It's a market.
Sure.
But now they believe that actually Poly Market and Kalshi are playing house to a degree, and they're holding some of the action, which would make them more like a traditional casino or bookmaker, which the feds are going to want to know something about.
I did that 12 years ago. A friend that owned a golf course, I told him to do exactly that way before all this. Like, buy into the weather. If you get rain and your business is down, why didn't we hedge it and you know, make that kind of bet? That if it rains X amount. Well, that was the hard part back then. But you could find a guy.
There's futures out there. 12 years ago, you were suggesting this.
Yeah. It was like, I got tired of them telling me it was a bad year because they had too much rain. I'm like, well, there's a solution here. You know, let's hedge that. It's the same as hedging steel or coal or anything else.
Yeah, golf courses are the worst because you're so weather dependent. And unlike being a farmer, Buck Hance, where you're weather dependent, the crops don't bitch about a lack of water in the ball washers. Or ask for a discount Groupon rate for only playing 9. Or say the greens are too slow. If you're growing corn and it's a bad weather season, your yield's not going to be very good. But guess what? The corn ain't going to complain.
Speaking of weather, you ever notice how the weathermen always end a tease with a question?
How do they say it?
They say,
will it last?
My forecast coming up, will there be rain? There's always a question.
Yeah.
It's always a question. It's going to get warmer here. How warm is it going to get? I'll tell you when we come back.
What question would you ask if you were that weather guy?
No, that's standard. Everybody's got to ask a question.
But, I mean, how would you phrase it? Do you have a killer question that could get people to hold on through the break?
No. I mean, basically, you that's the way that works. You might say something like, I'm forecasting warmer temperatures. I'll have that for you when we come back. Or more on that when we come back. But
no, that's not good. There's no hook.
No,
there.
You got to have a question. Right. That's why they always have a question.
Hi, Storm Drains, Channel 5. I got my 7-day forecast coming up. Am I fucking the news chick? I'll tell you right after this break.
I probably wouldn't say that.
Unless it's your last day.
That's my last broadcast.
That's your last broadcast.
That's a way to make it your last day.
Mic drop. All right, boys, great lunch. I enjoy your company very much. Mr. X, thank you for all the gambling stuff all year and football season. We will keep doing appearances with you, probably starting next week. The college football playoffs begin. Oh, yeah. And Buckhand said to me something, the most incredible thing ever, which was, I just hope my JMU Dukes don't get embarrassed at Oregon Saturday.
Right.
And I said, is it Saturday or Friday?
Saturday night, 7:30 on TNT.
All right. Thank you, Buck. And I said, embarrassed? What's embarrassed? And your answer was?
Well, my answer was losing by 20 points. But then I understood your point, which was they could run up the score at the end of the game.
The spread, Mr. X, is?
21.5. Yeah.
So in other words, losing by 20 would be. Yeah.
So he's saying cover.
It would be like, yeah, that's what we expected. Yeah.
Now, I want it to be.
That would not be embarrassing.
I understand that. Okay, so let me retract that. Okay.
Losing by 50.
All right, whatever. I mean, Madison put up 70 points at Carolina last year. Okay, so that was embarrassing to Carolina. But I just want them to be competitive because this is a different level. And as good as JMU's been, and they're 12-1, and they're in a good mid-major program, they're not on the level of Oregon or Georgia or Alabama. So I hope in this game that they're competitive and they don't make a lot of mistakes, which is going to be the key. You can't fumble. You can't have interceptions. Can't have stupid penalties.
Can't get behind the sticks.
Mental mistakes.
That's right. You can't afford that penalty there.
And you got to be careful not to give up big plays. But they're playing
sure to
a team.
Start running it north and south.
You know,
and get downhill.
Stay ahead
of the downs, chains.
You know, I want them to be competitive and be in the game.
You're very proud of your dudes.
Absolutely.
Excited for the game. If you lose by 20, it's not an embarrassment. But I will say you're going against a coach in Dan Lanning who loves to run it up.
But it doesn't matter as much now because he's in. But
he loves to run it up on principle. Does. And I'm telling you, Mr. X, I believe these big boys, Ole Miss included, they're going to want to make the most emphatic statement to leave these Cinderella's home in future years.
Which is dumb.
Well, this is how the big boys think. They're like, who are these peons? Not only do we want to beat them and beat them bad, we want to make sure they never invite them again.
And kudos to Bob Chesney, the coach at JMU. And again, we can't keep a coach. Obviously, you know that Kurt Cignetti is at Indiana, was at JMU 2 years ago, took 13 players with him. Impact players, Elijah Surratt, Kalon Black, Aiden Fisher. These are players that are now playing on a Division I level on a team that's ranked number one in the country. So, but Cignetti, of course, left before our bowl game. Chesney, who's going to UCLA for millions of dollars, is staying to coach the team. Kudos to him. He's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. I've talked to him. He's going to be good, hopefully, at UCLA. And I hope he doesn't take too many of our players with him. But we can't keep anybody at Madison.
If anybody should be embarrassed about anything, it should be that you lost a coach to UCLA. That's embarrassing.
Yeah,
if you lost Chesney to a better program, I'd say, okay, it's his time. He chose UCLA over you guys.
Got a lot more money.
More money, better weather, more upside. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, and it's a higher level. You know, you can argue whether it's a better program or not, but that's a higher level. We're a mid-major. They're a major.
Yeah, he's going to flop there so bad.
$833,000, I think, is what he's making at Madison, which is a lot of money, more than Cignetti made. And now he's going to make, a couple million dollars a year, at least. Cignetti left for $4 million a year. They doubled that to $8 million. Then he signed a $90 million contract.
Well, JMU is – now, I'm making this up off the top of my head. Only team
What's
in the
new?
Tournament – yeah. Only team in this playoffs –
that's won at all their levels.
No, that has two coaches – and coach and ex – that have two former coaches in the tournament.
That's does anybody else have two in the tournament?
No, please. I don't think that hasn't happened. I would dare say it's never gonna happen again.
You know what the best coaching story that's nobody's noticed lately is? Brent Pry signing as DC at the school that fired him.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
And of course, he has, you know, the big buyout unless he signs a coaching contract. So now that he's there, do they still buy him out?
I believe there's got to. I'm sure there's. I haven't seen his contract, but I'm sure there's offset language in there. So there. But smart for him.
Never seen that before.
I know. But if you no, I haven't either. But good for Franklin for trusting him that he wouldn't try to undermine Franklin while still on the staff in the locker room. And he doesn't have to change his mailing address and pack up his house and move his shit somewhere else. That's a brilliant move. You get most of the same money. Stay in a place where they're going to really put some oomph into Virginia Tech football to make them great again. What's not to like?
And to add what you said about the two coaches that have never, you know, it'll be three coaches when our next coach leaves.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Listen, getting cocky. Just don't get blown out. All right, Buck. Good to see you. Mr. Eck, good to see you. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you to the Palm for having us as well. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next
time. Go Dukes. I'm just an ordinary demigod.
So what happens now? Is the food free, or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.